Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Welcome live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. It is great to have you with us this evening for Breaking the Silence. I want to tell you what, tonight is a money-back guarantee of the guests that we're going to have this evening. And we're just going to sit back, grab you a nice cup of coffee or a soda, and just sit back and enjoy. You may want to get online and tell some people, hey, tune in tonight because it's going to be a good program. We have an awesome guest. That is really a around the world known speaker and professional, and just going to come in and just knock your socks off with some information and some wonderful things. I think in this time in our day, in our age, and of what's going on in our world is a perfect conversation that I consider just two friends having, talking about something that affects everybody in our world. And we need to be more sensitive to it as each day goes by in a very important manner. So can't wait for that. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Catherine Martinick, and she's an author. I think she was on our program 8, 9, 10 months ago, and she has written a new book, and the title is about yay long, but it's going to be really good. That's next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Central Time, right here live from Houston. Catherine Martinick is going to be here. And I also want to remind everybody, and as you think about Christmas, because this is the Sunday before Christmas, the program before our Christmas holiday coming up in mid part of the week, Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock Central Time, we're going to have a special service right here on Breaking the Silence and Shattered by the Darkness and Faith Springs Live and YouTube and iHeartRadio and all those places. We're just going to have a wonderful time as a family, as a church, as believers, and we're going to be celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior on Christmas Eve right here live at 7 p.m. It's going to be some good music and just a small little devotional, but just some time to be able to, I think, be perfect. Put it on the big screen, gather the family all around, and just say, hey, let's listen in and at least talk about and listen about what the reason for the Christmas season is all about. Sometimes we focus on Rudolph and Santa Claus and all the other things, and I'm not negating that and knocking that. I don't want to start protesting Santa Claus and all those things because the kids love that and need that imaginative sense of being. But I tell you what, it's a perfect time. Don't let the holiday go by without sitting around with your family for a few minutes and listen to or hear the real Christmas story. I think that's really important. And that's our gift to you this Christmas Eve. At 7 o'clock Central Time right here on BBS Radio, the best radio station in the country. Tonight, our guest is an absolute honor to have anybody that is affiliated with the National School Board Association. I've had many dealings with them when I was on the school board back in Illinois. I love going to the conferences, and their conferences were second to none. But we have folks, strap on the seatbelt, the past president, 2016 and 17, the past president of the National School Board Association, Miranda Beard. And she is with us tonight, and she is locally, nationally, and when you really read her resume and her CV, let me be honest with you, She is world known because she has traveled in Central and Western Europe, the Dominican Republic, and she is a leading voice and advocate for equity and excellence in the education of not just kids, all children. And I think that's going to be a key. We're going to tap into that, and then we're going to drill really deep and hard. And she's also a leadership coach, a trainer for school boards and superintendents and districts around the country. And I'm really excited to have her on and have a wonderful conversation. So from Mississippi, the awesome state of Mississippi, I want to welcome to the program tonight, Miranda Beard. Miranda, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. You have a lot going on, Dr. Williams.
Oh, no, this is fun. I just love being busy. I think this is just wonderful. And I love this kind of platform because, Miranda, it gives me an opportunity to meet people like you and just to sit and talk and share and just talk about things that interest you and should be interesting to all of us. And sometimes we overlook things. And I get so much education from this program. So I just appreciate you coming in and sharing what you're going to share with us tonight. Tell me from Mississippi, what you do for a living, what keeps you excited, how you got involved with the school boards, and then what some of the pros and cons of being involved with it. Just tell me a little bit about what you do and your passion.
First of all, let me just say how honored I am to be a part of your program tonight.
Appreciate that.
This is awesome, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. What gets me up? What keeps me going? Anything I can do to advocate for children, that's what it's all about for me. Making sure children get what they need, addressing inequities, making sure equitable education is at the forefront of what we do to make sure children understand they have a purpose, they have talents, they have gifts, they have abilities that are innate, that educators have the great opportunity to tap into that potential and pull it out of those students so that they can be and do exactly what they were created to do. You know, I've run into families and children who feel sometimes that they have no reason for their existence. Mm-hmm. They have no purpose and don't understand they have a purpose. No child was born without something he or she was uniquely designed to do. And, you know, that keeps me going and fired up. And when I see little children, I see the joy in their eyes and in their faces, the smiles on their faces, oftentimes wonder, what was that child born to do? They are here for something significant. They're here because they have a purpose in life. But not all children have that opportunity to be exactly who they were created to be, simply because they're wounded, because of shattered lives, because of poverty, socioeconomic issues, you know, so many things that can try to hinder or stop them from fulfilling their destiny in life. But, you know, Dr. Williams, I look at them sometimes almost like a mustard seed. In the mustard seed, as you and I know, can be a tree 20 feet tall. But the seed, unless you put it in good ground and you water that seed, then that tree will never come to fruition. It will always remain a seed. So the potential that's inside the seed never comes to the surface because it didn't get what it needed, the soil, the water, the fertilizer, all the things needed to be the tree that it was destined to be. Well, when I look at children, when they're in our education systems, you know, imagine that mustard seed in that child, there is something they are destined to do. There's a potential there. Teachers are in a position of authority and they can help mold and shape and pull that potential out of those children. So, and we do that sometimes with the words that we speak. Mm. You know, words are so powerful, Dr. Williams, as you and I know. And we can do things to damage or hurt or hinder potential by the words that we speak. You know, I know what it feels like to have words spoken over your life that stands in the way of progress or stands in the way of you developing into who you were destined to be. I know what it's like to feel depressed and darkness so thick that I felt like I could cut it with a knife as a child growing up. See, I had no choice about what family I was going to be born into, nor many of the children that I come across in our schools across the country. But yet at 12 years old, I had a dream that one day I would stand before thousands and thousands of people using a voice that I was bullied over because it was so masculine sounding. I didn't like it because of that. People made fun of it. I was bullied. You know, my self-esteem wasn't there, no self-worth, no self-motivation. And as a result of that, a lot of times I was depressed, you know, I was down and out, and even at times had suicidal thoughts. So we would be shocked and surprised by the number of children that have those feelings and those emotions and don't know how to deal with it. That's why counselors are important, teachers are important, fathers and mothers are important. All these people put in place to help that child find his or her destiny in life and purpose, because they're not a mistake. I felt like I was a mistake at times.
Oh my, how important is hope for children? I know it's important for adults, but sometimes children, you just said it so beautifully, they have no control, no choice. They're placed in these environments. How important is hope for them and somebody to instill hope in them?
That is key. You know, it goes back to that I just said, the power of words. You know, children need affirmation. They need to know that they're valued. They need to know that they're important. When they hear those things, although they may be born in poverty or across the tracks where people say, because of your zip code, you're not going to amount to very much. But if I hear those words of affirmation, or children hear that, regardless to where they come from, regardless to their race, their gender, it gives them hope to understand that they have a purpose in life. That's mm-hmm. why parents and teachers and all those people around children should pay attention to what the possible gifts are that they could pull out of them to make them feel successful in life.
Yeah.
Because if I don't feel like I have a value, if I don't feel like I have significance, then I don't have hope. That's why some children get into criminal activity. You know, they're in abusive situations. But when they come into our school environments or certain environments that can help educate them and teach them, regardless to the home environment, they can come into our school environments and still find that hope there through educators, through teachers, through those people on the boards, the superintendents, principals, All these people around them, everybody, even the janitor, can say a kind word to a child.
Absolutely. I believe that truly. You know, I don't normally do this, but when you first started, somebody called in and she may have something to say just for you. I'm not for sure, but Lula is online too. I don't know if that name rings a bell with you. Guys, go ahead and bring Lula in and see if she has a question or a comment tonight.
This is great. Lula, are you there? Are you there?
We're looking here. She may have dropped off because she came in early.
Okay. You know, Dr. Williams, I have to say right now, there's such a spirit of fear, and we know how to overcome fear through the spirit of love.
Yeah.
And that's what children are looking for. They're looking for love and they're looking for care as well as the value in life. Because if you show those little ones that you love them and that you care for them, they will perform for you in the classroom. They will do mighty and great things. They just need to know that they're cared for and that they're loved.
What kind of situation has this pandemic had on the emotional stability, on the foundational constitution of hope for our kids, for our school systems, for our education in the United States. Has this been devastating to our educational world and the kids, or is there hope in this and we can learn some values from this?
You know, as long as we are alive, I always say there's hope.
That's right.
But this pandemic, as you well know, in our education system across the country, has exposed some inequities. In fact, the Federal Communications Commission says there are as many as 20 million families without the ability to access the internet or Wi-Fi. And so when you look at that, you have children in these households that don't have access to the internet. Although I know the Federal Communications is trying to do more in terms of funding families that don't have access to this technology. You know, I've said to educators across the country, those that I've spoken to, this pandemic has revealed that inequity as far as the digital divide. And so those are issues we have to address, because we don't know when we will actually come out of this, or if there will be another pandemic or another situation where children will have to go home and learn virtually. So those are the kinds of issues that have to be addressed across the country that we were not, as educators and education leaders, prepared for. But now that we know these inequities exist, Dr. Williams, we just have to address them. I told them, you can put notebooks or Chromebooks in the hands of children, but if I've never turned on one, who's going to show me how to do this? My parents don't know. So I always say you got to have boots on the ground, people going in to make sure children that we know are could fall through the cracks, make sure they get everything that they need. To me, that's what equity is all about, because you can't give everybody a size 10 shoe and expect that shoe to fit. It doesn't work like that. People are different. Every individual is different. The DNA of every individual is different. So we have to find out what the needs are, use the resources that we have equitably to make sure every child and every need is met according to what those needs are.
Is it encouraging to you that today they passed, or supposedly passed, the Senate a huge second wave of aid, and education was a key in that? Is that encouraging to you? Do you know, have you heard a lot about this next one that's coming through?
Very encouraging, because financially schools were not prepared to handle a situation like this, where they got to have the resources to make sure the schools are clean properly, or making sure they have the Chromebooks that students need to do their homework or their schoolwork. Making sure educators are protected. And there are certain things you must have in place to ensure that those environments are safe for everybody. And so we were not, you know, educators or school districts were not necessarily prepared for that. There was no money set aside for that. So those monies will help them close the gaps that exist to make sure everybody gets what he or she needs and do it safely.
Okay. I think we found Lula. I think we got her reconnected. So Lula, are you there? Can you hear Miranda and I?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, Lula, we can hear you. What is your question or comment for Miranda this evening?
My comment is that I am so honored and proud of Miranda. She has done so much work for the school systems, and I just would like to ask her, how do you feel about the pay raise for teachers, and especially the teachers in Mississippi? Do you have an idea of what we should be doing, what we can do? And I want you to know that we are also proud of you and the work that you're doing. Thank you, Dr. Williams, for allowing her to come.
Well, thank you, Lula. We appreciate you from Mississippi. Miranda, what about that with the pay rate of what teachers are making? I remember being on the school board and sitting and talking with union reps to try and negotiate and do all of those kind of things with them. How do we fare in that department with teachers right now?
Let me first of all say thank you to Lula. I certainly appreciate your comments and being on. She is a precious lady, has done much for the community as well. You know, teachers are dealing with our precious resource, our children. They're precious to us. Why would we not want to invest in our teachers to make sure they get what they need to give our children what they need? You know, that is something we have to talk to our, constantly talk to our lawmakers about, in terms of letting them know that teachers are worth more than what they're getting right now to do what they do. And I know many of the teachers that I've spoken with, they do what they do because they love children and they wanted to give back to the community. It is something in them that is a gift. And I always say in heaven, I believe there will be a special crown for them because of what they do for children. But we should give them what they deserve. And I fight for that. I speak up for that because they deserve a lot more than what they're getting. And especially now that some of them are stepping out and putting their lives and their own families on the line to be in the classroom with children and taking that chance of getting COVID-19, they do it because they love what they do and they care about children. They care about families and they really believe they're making a difference. Good. It was a teacher, Dr. Williams, that changed my life. As I said, as a child growing up, I had no, my self-esteem was low, no self-worth, no self-motivation, depressed, feeling like I had no value. To this day, and I'm almost 64 years old, I can remember my first grade teacher who made me feel like I could do something, that I could learn to read. See, my parents were working class poor people, so I know poverty as well. They were working class folks that were not on welfare, but yet they could not take the time that I may have needed to rise to the occasion to be prepared for school before I got there. Mm-hmm. That's why I adamantly fight for early childhood education, especially for children that are in poverty or low socioeconomic status. Because the earlier we reach the children, the better their chances of being successful in life. So yeah, teachers should be paid a lot more than what they're paid. And I don't hesitate to speak up for that. So I know I have some teachers probably listening in saying, I'm fighting for you teachers. No ifs, ands, buts about it.
That's great. We're going to take our first commercial break. Get on the line, text somebody, say we jump in and watch. If you have a question tonight, 888-627-6008. And we appreciate Lula calling in. You can do the same and jump right in on the conversation. On the other side of this break, I want to talk about how do we encourage children to find their purpose, even though they have some things at home that seem to be some heavy weights and baggage, and they've been wounded. How do we instill and discover, help them discover their purpose? And we'll talk about that right on the other side of this break. We'll be right back in about a minute and 15 seconds.
All right.
This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Welcome back. And I tell you what, my texts are going kind of crazy right now. Several people are making awesome comments, and I'm just scrolling through it, and I just love that. That means people are listening. They have comments. And if you want to get involved, 888-627-6008. And we have Miranda Beard, the past president of the National School Board Association, and she has some great wisdom. When we talk about children, Miranda, that is, I think, our country's greatest asset. I really believe they are what we need to put the most effort into. They're the future. Where have we gone wrong? And where have we gone right in the education world with our children?
You know, as I said earlier, we want a cookie cutter set of programs or curriculum. But for some children, Dr. Williams, they need more. I'll give you an example of something. I have school A and school B. School A has 10 counselors. They need them. They need counselors there. School B needs counselors. But school B needs more counselors. But the school district will say, we just don't have the money to do this. But guess what? School A could do without two counselors and still be successful because they're thriving and things are going well for them. We could move two counselors from school A to school B to give them more of what is needed if we would be brave enough or courageous enough to do that. See, sometimes leadership or leaders are afraid to be courageous enough to step out there to do some things because they're afraid of negative feedback from parents, from other educators, to do what is fair or do what is right. See, sometimes we have to knock down the walls or the barriers, but we have to find out what those barriers are. That means sitting at the table with the people who know what those barriers are. They may not look like me or may not look like you. Sometimes we need to sit down and have the students at the table as well, because everybody has a voice. We should have the teachers at the table, parents at the table, educators at the table, administrators at the table, community leaders at the table, lawmakers at the table, everybody talking about what those needs are in the community. Communications is key. And there has been a breakdown in the communications. See, it bothers me when people that may not look like me are afraid to approach me because they're afraid they may say something that would offend me. Communications is communications. Don't be afraid to talk about those things that you're concerned about. Don't be afraid to talk about issues. Why are some children learning and some children are not learning? What do we need to do to make sure everybody is learning? That's going to take some courageous conversation. And we can't.
Is there a school system that you're aware of, Miranda, that has really embraced this concept and has seen an overwhelming success with grade levels, with attendance, with just, you know, positivity? Are you aware of a school that is really a good example of this?
Not just a school, but a district.
Wow.
Right here in our area in this state. Always an A district, never falls below that for years. One of the things they have done, they collaborate with and partner with Head Start programs. In fact, they provided a facility for the Head Start program to be within the school district. And what they did was assigned an administrator to help the leadership of the Head Start program by providing them with the information they will need to help train and prepare students before they actually get into the school district. I thought that was a clever move, the collaboration or the partnership that was developed, preparing the students before they get into the mainstream of the school system or the school district. So when those children come in, Dr. Williams, they're already prepared for kindergarten or prepared for first grade. They're not behind, okay? So learning begins at that level. We have to reach them before they get into the school districts, reach them in Head Start programs or daycare programs, making sure those administrators and those teachers or daycare workers have the information that they need to help children before they get into the school system.
You know, we were talking about our mutual friend of Joe Hendershot and his lovely wife, Darty, that are common friends with both of us. And, you know, he talks about the wounded child. How do we help the children find purpose when they are in an environment that has hurt them, that isn't safe, that continually pushes them down emotionally, abuse, any other those other things? How do we help them find their purpose in life?
Empathy, not sympathy.
Ooh.
Well, some sympathy, empathy.
Okay.
And the reason why I say empathy, when children come into, if I was a teacher, come into my classroom, I want to let them know I understand, because many times teachers may or may not know what a child is going through. But understanding that there are some inequities there, some needs there that this child may not be getting. That's why the free and reduced lunch programs across this country, they're so important. Because millions and thousands of children every day would not have an adequate meal had it not been for those free and reduced lunch programs. But showing empathy, saying that when you come into this classroom, you can learn and you will learn, and I'm going to help you learn and give them the resources and the things that they need, whether it's after school, needing more after school programs, or in-school programs, counseling, all the things that they need, even medical care. You know, I've heard stories, Dr. Williams, where there were children that couldn't read simply because they needed glasses. So with the program in the school to address some of those needs, because the parents didn't realize the child needed glasses. In fact, they couldn't afford to take them somewhere to get their eye exam. But an eye exam in the school revealed that some children need glasses. And once they get the glasses, they read. But then too, we have to pay attention. Children are generally happy people. You know, they jump around and they flip on the sofa, they turn flips and they're smiling. You have a grandbaby now, so you know what I'm talking about. Little thing just as cute as they can be. But when you see a child that's unhappy, a child that's always crying, a child that is always sad, a child that is always sleeping in the classroom, somebody should be asking questions. Somebody should be talking to their caretakers. Somebody should pay attention and not just push them aside and say, oh, she's lazy, she doesn't care. A good example, a true story. Young lady in the classroom would come to school every day sleeping in the classroom. She was sleepy. She was tired. Some of the teachers just called her lazy. I'll keep her awake in English today so she can get a little English, learn a little English. She was a failing student, by the way. And I'll let her sleep. The other teachers say, I'll let her sleep in the math class. She couldn't stay awake. Superintendent became aware of the student, because you know who they are. We know who the failing students are. You have a list of them. The superintendent saw this child walking down the street with a baby on her hip. he had to stop and ask, what is going on here? You know, this is a young girl. He said, who is this? You know, what's going on here? You know, she said, this is my sister. And I babysit her in the evening because my mother and father have to work the night shift. See, they were just trying to keep a roof over their heads, food on the table. And she was old enough, around 12, 13 years old. And they felt like she was old enough to take care of the baby because they could not afford to pay for a babysitter. Okay. Wow. Working class poor folks. So, you know, a 6-month old baby is up and down all night long. They need to be changed. They need to be fed. She wasn't getting enough sleep. He was so moved by her story that he himself took the money and hired a babysitter so this young girl could get the rest that she needed to be able to perform in school. Wow. She went from being a failing student to a straight A student and went on to law school.
Wow.
But somebody had to pay attention. Why is this child sleeping in my class every single day? Some children have to work in high school. They have to get jobs. They have no choice. And they're tired when they come to school. Mm-hmm. What can we do to help them? Yeah. See, that's where we find out what the needs are and provide the resources to make sure they can be successful in life.
Fantastic. Tell you what, we have another caller tonight. Willie, a lady from Mississippi. Willie, are you there tonight?
Hi, Willie.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear Miranda?
I do. How are you doing, Miranda?
I'm great. Thank you, Willie, for calling in.
Miranda is a very important figure in the city of Laurel, Mississippi. And I've known her for quite some time, and she has a powerful impact on our children and young people. The question that I had, Miranda, you answered it while I was waiting, because we have children that are suffering from their economic background and the environment that they live in. I'm a retired teacher. And I came back into the classroom last year, and that wasn't my plan. I was trying to tutor, and there was a need for a self-contained teacher. I end up back in the classroom last year, and I'm still in there this year. And I've met teenagers, students, that their self-esteem is so low, and they needed someone to talk to, but they're, what you call it, introverted. They keep their feelings and their thoughts to themselves. And I was trying to listen to you to hear what are some of the ways that you would bring out the problems that these students have. I want to tell a little quick story. I had a young man who had accidentally put a car in drive and hit his uncle that was standing by the wall and killed him. He saw him die at the age of 7. He's 15 now, and he's still carrying that burden. And his mother, it was her brother, she calls him Murder Man. He hates to go home. He said he stays locked up in his room. And he just came to my room one day, and, you know, we started talking. And as we talked, he told me this story. And every day he would come to my room because he wanted someone to talk to. And he's a good student. He has potential. But we have to know what's going on in the lives of these students and find out what we, that's what I want to know as a retired teacher. And we don't have a lot of teachers. Like you said, some let them sleep. I just feel like God put me back in there so that I could be a listening ear. But how do you encourage other teachers to get into the mind and the hearts of students? And my thing was, yes, you can target students at elementary, kindergarten, but when they get to be teenagers, and this is already said in Miranda, how do you help them when their self-esteem is so low? Mm. They're not not motivated to want to do anything with their lives.
Fantastic question, Willie. Thank you. Miranda, what's your thought on that?
Well, words are so powerful. The things that we say, we've got to see the value in every child, because they're not just here to suck up air and then just die. I always tell people we need to realize who they are before they leave this earth. There's I use the phrase sometimes, dying empty. Dying empty, and I'm not being morbid when I say this, we shouldn't take the potential to the graveyard. The potential should be realized here on this earth, helping students to understand that they have value. You know, Dr. Williams, I have to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Every human being was made in God's image. It said male and female, made in God's image. See, when I abuse you and misuse you, I'm abusing and misusing the image of Almighty God. And somebody will be held accountable for that. Because every child was born to do something significant in this world. And they need to know through the voices of authority, a teacher, a parent, or someone to tell them that you are here to do something great. I also tell parents sometimes, don't just yell at a child because they pick up pencils and they're beating on the dresser and they're beating on the refrigerator and they're beating on everything. You don't know. That child is probably the top drummer in the world. But because you said, stop all that noise, quit it, you're getting on my nerves. See, if a child hears that enough, they will stop and the gift will die with them.
Wow.
They would have been that top drummer or great drummer, but because you said it was getting on your nerves and you're the parent in a position of authority, your words are so valued by this child. When you speak those words out of your mouth, it's like a knife piercing their heart. Now, I'm going deep with this, if that's okay. Piercing their heart to the point where they feel like, I don't want to get on mom's nerves or dad's nerves, so I'm just going to stop.
Wow.
And so it stops.
Unbelievable.
It stops.
Yeah. And it just kills it.
You killed the gift.
Wow. And I'll tell you what, Miranda, we're going to take our last break real quick. I'm just going to throw it in because I know this hour is going by so fast. Really, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I hope she answered. We're going to pick up a little bit more of the answer on the other side of this break. Hang with us. Call us at 888-627-6008, and we'll be back for the final segment. On Breaking the Silence with Miranda Beard. Be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back to Breaking the Silence, and we are visiting with Miranda Beard, and we have our last segment here, and we've had some wonderful callers tonight. Willie, I just want to thank you from Mississippi for calling in, and being a retired teacher. You know, I can see a whole army of retired teachers going back into the classrooms to be that extra force of the word you used, empathy, of, hey, wait, you don't have to do a lesson plan. They're here to care. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Brandon, did you have any other last thoughts when you was answering Willie from her comment?
Well, going back to the power of words.
Yeah.
Words are like containers. You know, what came to me was this. If words didn't have, were not powerful, they wouldn't be in the dictionary in the first place.
Mm.
So I have come to realize the power of what I say out of my mouth to someone else. The smile I can give to a child or say, you're so pretty, you're so beautiful, you're smart, you're going to do something great. Those words of affirmation can make a difference or make a change in a child's life if they're hearing it from somebody that they're looking up to or somebody in that position of authority over them. But if you tell a child they're dumb, you tell them they're dumb enough, they're going to act dumb. If you say you're stupid, they're going to act stupid because you're releasing those powerful words out of your mouth, whether they be negative words or positive words. So we have to be careful in terms of what we say to children. Positive words, positive things, letting them know that they have a purpose in life or they never would have been born.
You know, I remember I'm sitting here having a memory that I haven't thought of for years. When I was 11 years old, I was at the funeral home for somebody in my family, and I believe it was my grandmother. And the funeral director came up to me. I was 11 years old, and he set me down and he said, Greg, you're something special. This would be a perfect business for you to get into. You ought to think about that. And I'll be doggone if I didn't get into that business for years because of one man's word. And I remember his name, Pleas Wilson. He said right there and said, Greg, this is in you. You would be so good at this. And it was like nobody had ever told me. And a fire started to blaze inside of me. And it was like, wow, I'm designed for something. And those words are powerful. But then I can remember my dad telling me that I was never going to amount to anything day in, day out, day in, day out. And sometimes that knocks the fire down. If they get that at home, they better not be getting that at school. But absolutely. I remember those days, Miranda, and I'm sure you do too, when the teachers were making fun of the kids in the class and we were all laughing with them. It was just well known that the teacher would make fun of the chubby person or teacher would make fun of the, you know, they'd hand the grades out. Oh, another F for Larry. And, you know, it was like, I can't believe we were that crude. But those words probably really took a lot of air and hope out of so many people's lives. We can't do that anymore.
We can't do that anymore. And you hear those stories about children committing suicide.
Yeah.
All over the country because of bullying, bullying in the classroom, bullying at home. You know, they don't understand their value or their worth and they just give up. They feel like there's nothing left for them. There's no hope. And when you don't feel like you have hope, when you don't feel like you have value, it's like I would be better off dead. Yeah. You know, I had those thoughts as a wounded child and sure. Talking about these kinds of issues. But the thing that kept me going, like I said, it was people in education that made me feel like I had something significant I was to do. And a dream that I had at 12, that I would stand before thousands. And when I took the gavel at the National School Boards Association's annual conference as the next president, all of a sudden, the dream I had at 12 was realized right before my eyes as I saw a sea of about 8,000 people that I was speaking to in that very moment. it was life changing for me.
You know, isn't that amazing, Miranda? And I don't know if I'm sure you can do this too, but I'm sitting here thinking, my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Fortney, my first grade teacher, Mrs. Kincaid, my second grade teacher, Larry Shaw, my third grade teacher, I can go right on through and name every one of them. I can't tell you the license plate number on my car or what floor I parked on tonight to get into my penthouse, but I can remember every teacher's name in grade school because they made such an impact, good or not so good, but they made an impact. They put their fingerprint on my life. And your work with the School Board Association and with teachers and going around and training superintendents and school boards is literally a gift given by God saying, hey, show them not only the power of words, but the last topic I want to tap into because we're kind of running low is the power of love. What is the power of love, Miranda, for these children?
We won't make it without it. God, as you know, Greg, Dr. Williams, God is love.
Yes.
And so it is up to us as vessels to show forth his love to those who feel like they have no love in the world, because they are loved. They are made in God's image and his likeness. They are human beings. You know, when people would say, because of your zip code, you're not going to amount to very much. But then there are others who can see beyond that. That's showing a form of love, saying that I love the human race. I love human beings, regardless to their color, regardless to their race, regardless to their socioeconomic background. It is love. A baby will not survive without love. You put a baby in a crib and just feed it. There's something about that child that requires the loving touch of a mother or a caregiver, holding them in your arms and, you know, just loving on them and showing them how much you care about them. You know, it's about caring for one another. It's about loving one another. As I said earlier, if we want to overcome fear, you overcome fear with love. But it's choice driven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Life is choice driven. I can make a choice to hate, or I can make a choice to love.
Isn't there a scripture that says love casts out fear?
It does. It sure does.
Yeah. I tell you, I love our discussion this evening, and I really believe, and I want to hear what you think about it, because I think we only have a minute or two, but do you see on the other side of this in the next 3 months, 6 months, year, that we're going to be able to pull out the positives of what this pandemic has done to us? And maybe it has put everybody on a line of equity that we should have been on for decades and we weren't. But do you believe some of the scales have fallen off? Our eyes that needed to be taken off because of this?
I think the pandemic exposed a lot of things that needed to be exposed that we take for granted because we go about our day-to-day routines, our day-to-day life. You know, I remember living through Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you had, Dr. Williams. I don't care what race you were. I don't care what part of the city you lived in. I saw people coming together like never before, doing for each other what needed to be done. If I needed water, there was somebody available to give me water. If I needed some food, there was somebody to give me food. And I'm seeing through this pandemic, the love and the care for one another like I've never seen before.
Because you're a human being.
That's exactly
right. Yeah, not because of who you are, what you know, what color you are, what part of town you live in, it's because you are a human in need. Keep going. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
And that's what it's all about, giving, because we care.
Yes.
And this has shown how much people really care and the resilience as a result of that. The way we bounce back faster is with all of us working together to make that happen. It's got to be Black people, white people, Asian people, Indians, everybody coming together to say, look, we are here to do whatever it takes to get our nation, our country, and our world back to the standard for which God created it. And it's about loving and caring for one another, not about how much you have over here or how much you don't have over there. It is about just caring about another person, loving another person. You know, I think about the men that are on the garbage truck sometimes, and I want to do something special for them for Christmas. You know, if they didn't do their jobs, Dr. Williams, you can imagine the mess this world and our cities would be in. But yet, do we ever say thank you? I believe some people do. Do we ever show that we care for those that are doing so much that may be neglected at times? Do we, you know, I'll give you an example of something, and I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, about 60 seconds.
I was in a Dominican Republic, and one of the things I said to the group of educators and individuals that were there, and I was with them helping to build a school, I said, we have a mission right in our backyards in the United States where people have needs. Children are sleeping on the floors because they don't have beds. Children need food insecurities, great needs, clothing, all of that. But yet we get excited and we get teary-eyed sometimes when we go on the mission field and do things for others in another part of the world. When we have a mission right here in our own backyards.
Miranda, I tell you what, it's been a joy having you on tonight. I appreciate you and your mission and your words, and thank you so much. If somebody, we only have about 10 seconds. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, Miranda, what's the best way to get reach out to you?
My email would be great, and I'm on Facebook as well, but Miranda Beard, the number one, not the word one, at iCloud.com. That's Miranda Beard one at iCloud.com. I would love it.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. It was a joy. Have an awesome holiday season. And it was an honor to have you with us tonight from Mississippi. Thank you. As I always close every show out, I always mention this every week, day in, day out. It doesn't matter. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're going to endure tomorrow or whatever's happened to you in the past, let me tell you, there is always, always, always hope. And never give up on hope. It's there.
Always.
Join us right here next week for another edition. Join us Christmas Eve. We would love to have you right here, 7 o'clock Central Time, live from Houston for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.